In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. This is so exciting. Today is a day of firsts. We've got at least two firsts on the show, actually three, because technically this would be our New Year's show as we're heading into the new year, 2010, coming up in just a couple days. And so it's the first time we've done a New Year's show on Life Changes, and it's the first time that we're doing a show not at our normal studio, so outside of our studio. We're actually guests of Fred Burks, who was our guest actually on the show a few weeks back, if you remember, and you can go to the archives and hear his show. It was an amazing show. He does some great work, and so I've come up to meet Fred in Berkeley, and he is hosting us and allowing us to air his our show from where he does his websites. And just to remind you all that one of his main websites is peerservice.org, peerservice.org. So we thank Fred Burks for hosting us tonight. So that's the second of our firsts. And the third of our firsts is we're going to actually have a live channeling. And it's not only a first for us, but it's actually a first for the channeler. Jill Mara is our guest tonight. And she has been channeling Simeon since 2005, and this will be the first time she's ever channeled Simeon on radio live. So it's really exciting. And you know, before we bring Jill on, this is the season of abundance in so many ways, and we sing about and talk about and give abundantly. And we sing and refer to love being what's given out, love and compassion and joy and peace, although it's usually manifested in gifts and food and all kinds of things like that, which is a question in my mind, period, especially around these times. But the question that I want to talk about today is how much is enough? And when do we know enough is enough? And I'm wondering if our enough button is not working. So many of us seem to have this issue. You know, a friend of mine used to say, how many eggs does a Frenchman eat for breakfast? And the first time I didn't know the answer. I obviously knew after that. But the answer is one. Now, it's not the answer that's important. What's important is the why. And the answer would always come because one is enough. And it really is. I mean, we do eat, especially in our society, so much. Our portions are getting bigger. Our closets are bigger. Our garages are getting bigger. So much is getting bigger, but is it really necessary? And when do we say enough is enough? Now I have a good excuse when it comes to food. I'm Italian-American, so my mother, who was an excellent, she still is actually an excellent Italian cook, but I was going to say my mother, who came from Italy directly, cooks the most amazing food. And she has this cute thing that she does. When you're sitting at the table, and this is how I grew up, and you finish your plate of food, she asks you if you had enough. And for me, at least, the answer was usually, yes, thank you, I've had enough. And she'd come with the pot and fill my plate again completely full. And so when I was done with that plate, she'd ask me again. Now, knowing what was going to happen, and I caught on really quickly, I would say, yes, enough, and I'd cover the plate with my hand, and she'd say, move your hands, I'm only going to give you a little bit. And so sometimes a little bit to her was not the same little bit to me. And so being the dutiful son and the food being so wonderful, I would eat it. and it was more than enough, and I didn't need it, and I gained weight as a child, and frankly, I've been spending the past couple days with my mother, thankfully, and she has made some of the most delicious food, and I feel like I have food up to my throat, and I love it, but enough is enough, but I can't say no, because my enough button is broken when it comes to food, especially delicious Italian food. So the question is, do you have an excuse? I mean, and the excuse really doesn't help at this point. I do understand that I do need to learn how to reactivate that button for food because I'm gaining more weight than I'm comfortable in. I'm not able to fit in the clothes that I want to, but that's not as big of a problem as some of the other things, like how many presents is enough. Some friends of mine were boasting this season how many presents they had gotten their family or their kids, their lovers, their wives, and I'm at 22 and I'm still going strong. And, you know, it's interesting. I asked one of my nieces if they had a chess set. And one of them said, yeah, I think we do. And the other one said, yeah, we do. We got it for Christmas, I think. And I said, when? And they said, I think last year. Now, they're just kids. But the point I'm trying to make is that when I found out from their mother, they just received it this Christmas. In other words, they've gotten too many things. They got so many things that they don't even remember what they got and when they even got it. And sure, they got it before Christmas because they weren't going to be home for Christmas. But the point is that if something were that meaningful or that special, then they wouldn't forget, even though they're kids. And so obviously they've gotten more than enough, and that's causing a problem, I think, especially at a young age. But then we get into how many cars are enough, how many houses are enough, how many clothes are enough. And this has consequences throughout the whole world, not just on our body. I know enough food for me is an issue, and I'm working on that. But it does affect other people, and yes. But this enough button that we either need to fix or reactivate or remember how to use it, I believe is a really important thing, and it's something that came up in my mind during this season. And I don't have a solution as of yet, but I know that collectively we all do, and I just wanted to bring some consciousness to the enough button or situation, if you will. And maybe just one egg really is enough for a Frenchman's breakfast, or maybe even ours. So wanted to throw that out. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and this is Life Changes Radio Show, and I am so honored to be hosting this show today. And our guest today is Jill Mara. Now, Jill has a very interesting story, and I can't wait to bring her on. She is now the author of a channeled book called Keys to Social Evolution, A Gateway to the Next Dimension, and it just came out this December, and it is about the up-and-coming changes going on, actually, that so many of us are interested in, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. She herself is an up-and-coming channel of higher dimensional beings that is dedicated to sharing her ability to bring messages of spiritual growth to humanity. Now, Jill connected with these beings, which call themselves Simeon, and they're an evolutionary collective of seventh dimensional light beings. And she connected with them during a meditative exercise to meet her spiritual guides in September of 2005. And instead of personal guidance, she got messages regarding the upcoming shift in human consciousness. So she began verbally channeling answers to questions from friends and family about life, the universe, and reality. And eventually she started realizing that the answers she was getting and during some of her private sessions were really a book. And the next thing she knew, she was writing out a book in channeled form, which she had never done up until that point. So really excited to talk to Jill and also to talk to Simeon, which we will be doing later on in the show, when Jill channels this evolutionary collective of seventh dimensional beings. So before getting to that, let's bring Jill on, and we welcome you to the show, Jill.
Hi, it's really great to be here. Thank you for having me and for your listeners for being open to learning from life's changes.
Well, it's great to have you as well. And you know, a lot of people don't understand channeling, and you said something really great about being an interpreter for the UN, and it's interesting because we're actually with Fred Birx, who used to interpret for the presidents and all kinds of people. So explain that to the audience as you did to me one day on the phone.
Right. Well, that's what it feels like when I'm channeling. I feel as though I am a translator of their energy and the information that's coming through them. So I don't necessarily know what's going to transpire paragraph to paragraph, and certainly, you know, basically I know from phrase to phrase maybe, and then I don't know necessarily what's coming as the total meaning. It's just relayed as I go. So just like a translator at the UN, they translate the phrase at a time. I'm translating this energy from another dimension, a phrase at a time. And I'm also grasping sometimes to use the right words. And I feel, I have the sense that the information is much vaster than the words that I'm able to translate into. So that's a challenge for me, is I feel as though I'm so expanded when I'm channeling, and the message is so much more vast than our words. But, and it's being filtered down into this simple, smaller world that we live in.
You know, Jill, I have to tell the audience that one of the things that really endeared me to you was that when I asked you a question, you asked me if I was asking you that question personally, and I didn't expect you to ask me that, and I said, well, sure. And you answered honestly, saying, I don't know, and I could tell you what they have to say, but honestly, I'm like you, I'm like everybody else. I'm not able to live at the... how did you explain that? Because it was just so beautiful.
Well, I don't remember how exactly I explained that, but I think what you're getting at is that I am not experiencing the messages on a personal basis every day at the level and within the understanding that's coming through me. In other words, I'm a developing human being just as the rest of us are, and the information is vast, and there's so much there that I'm still learning. So even after having channeled an entire book, I'm having to go back through the book and learn from the messages. So it's a constant process, and I think one of the messages that they relay is that this is a process, this is a journey, and we need to be patient with ourselves on that journey. So I'm not, any more advanced than anyone else in this path. I have an openness, and I think that is why I was able to connect. And we all have that ability. I think that's important to note, is that we are all actually channels of energy. It depends on our choices as to what the quality of that energy is. And I feel as though I'm an ambassador for this seventh dimensional message, and I do the best that I can in order to relay that message.
You know, Jill, that's another thing that endeared me to you. And I've met so many people that I do believe have had connections with other dimensional beings and with alien beings. And unfortunately, a lot of these people become holier than thou. And in talking to you, as we have a couple times now, I never got that sense, and I loved that about you.
Well, if I were to do that, become holier than thou, I'd be contradicting the exact message that Simeon relays, which is that one, well, we are all holier than thou. But when our ego gets involved, we basically squash that, the amazing beings that we are. So by claiming that one is, of us is better than the other, or judging one over the other, or comparing each other to one another, we are defeating the essence of who we really are, which is this amazing connection to our source. I mean, we are the source of the universe. We are an aspect of that, and we each have a unique ability or quality that we are expressing as an aspect of that source energy. So if to compare that with someone else, or to make yourself out to be something better than someone else in any way, is contradicting what we really are.
Well, thank you for saying that. And so you're saying that we can all be channels of light energy. How can we all be channels of light energy?
That's a great question. Well, first, the whole entire book that Simeon relayed to me is basically about that in essence, because that's where we're headed as a species, is we are transitioning into a lighter, more connected, more aware being, and so is the planet. And so the reason for us doing this is to be more connected to what we are and to the universe, and understand that we are all interconnected. So there, it's an awareness, and we're shifting into a new level of awareness, a new octave of awareness. And so becoming a channel to light is becoming more aware of our interconnectedness and more aware of our inner being and the greater soul that we are, and how that integrates within our physical being, within our emotional being, and our mental being. So there's an integration. They call it the five levels of the soul, and we're basically moving to an integration of that soul level into harmony with our mental and our emotional and our physical being. So there's a harmony and balance there's energy available to create that harmony and balance. And when we do that, we become channels of our soul energy. Some people call it, and often call it, our inner light or our inner knowing. And as we connect with that, we are becoming channels of our unique light that is an aspect of creation to the world. And this is an important time for that. And apparently this new year, as Simeon has relayed to me, is an opening opportunity. There's some energy coming in that will allow us to move forward in revealing what we truly are, and in revealing our own inner light, and where our soul has the ability to channel individually. And that varies per each person, obviously, as to how we can do that. Some might have be channels for musical energy. Some might be channels for speaking energy and communications. Others may be for, you know, gathering communities, or working in with the energy of plants. It's an endless amount of possibilities. And that's another message that they relay, is that we each individually add to a collective. And we can change our world by collectively changing our intentions about this world. And there's an opening for a lot of transformation coming in 2010.
Wow.
But that just touches the surface of that question.
Yeah, I'm afraid that every question I'm going to ask is it could have hours of answer. And that's the good news, is that we're getting to the point where we're really asking the hard questions, or maybe not even hard. Maybe they're just deeper than maybe they're actually really simple, but we're not used to it being simple.
Right. And that's a big point also, that is a need to change our belief systems about what is possible, because we've been living in this restricted world through our exterior programming. We've basically been determining our identities and our lives based on what's externally relayed to us. And the transition needs to be, apparently, according to Simeon, is that it needs to come from the inside out. So we can transform our world by transforming our individual spirits and allowing that a greater, higher intentional purpose to be shared.
You know, real quickly, do you give any practical, I know you're trying, and it's not easy because we're not used to thinking in these terms, but here I am today, and I'm a multidimensional being, whatever that means, and I can channel energies of light, whatever that means, and what am I supposed to do in order to connect and be who I'm supposed to be as part of this collective?
Well, in Keys to Soul Evolution, they spend a lot of time going through different exercises and different ways of thinking, and there are many. One that I particularly like is to remind ourselves that we are all light beings internally, and to see others that way, to see everyone that we meet, to imagine they're a light within them, like a starlight within them. And see that glowing and growing, because we tend to just look at each other as, you know, another human being. When if we can shift that into seeing each other as light beings, then it changes our attitude towards one another, and it also opens up possibilities for synchronization with that person. And Simeon actually discusses that, how when you do that, you actually open up possibilities of connection with that person that weren't there before, that you may have been blocking because of your judgments and your ideas about it. That's one that I particularly like. Let's see, there's so many ways to go with this.
Jill, I think that's making the assumption that some of us do look at some others of us as human beings to begin with. And I think that's been part of the problem.
Yes. Well, we are so much more, and also to see the interconnectedness between us, and that we are actually one, you know, whole being. We are not actually separate, and that is an important part of this, our shifting consciousness, is we feel as though we are all separate beings, and everything is based on my identity and how I relate to others, when actually every action we do affects every other person, and even our thoughts and the energy in our thoughts could be affecting people that are, you know, miles and miles away, because we are in line with their frequency, because we are on the same vibration. So
right.
Simeon has this perspective of that time and space is much larger than we imagine it to be. It doesn't actually exist like we do, so we think we're small, we think we're not affecting the world by the thoughts and ideas that we have, but we're actually having a greater impact than we can imagine. And they also, speaking of imagine, they also discuss often use of our imagination, that we underuse our imagination, that there's a lot of power in that. And they suggest often that we envision the future that we want and spend more time focusing on that. And in our own personal lives and in our, the world and the world itself. And that we often, misuse or just not necessarily misuse, but don't use our capacity to its fullest when we are creating our world. And we do that, of course, every day. We create the environment that is around us. So we tend to think really small, especially with our intentions. And they accentuate often that it's time for us to raise our intentions in general, that we tend to keep it on a really low level, like you were talking about having enough and everything. We keep our intentions, oh, I want a car, I want this thing, or you know, I need to have this and that. And when we can raise that intention to something much greater, that would be much more fulfilling for us on many levels than the car or the whatever. And that is to come from a place within us, and that is of sharing what we have to give the world instead of asking for the world to give us whatever it is we want. Because then we are fulfilling what we are truly here to do in our own personal purpose, which is as an expression of that light within us. So in doing that, in bringing our intentions to that level, we change our whole life.
Jill, I like that a lot, actually, and part of that question about what do we actually do is what brought the idea of doing a live channel, because I asked the question, a lot of people are talking about 2012, but what about 2010? What do we do in the meantime, and what are the steps? And you had said that that isn't a question that a lot of people ask, and that you thought we should ask Simeon directly. So this seems to me an appropriate time to allow you the space and time to collect yourself and collect this collective of energy together and bring Simeon on, if you would.
Okay, that sounds great. So now, I'll need a couple minutes to do that.
Yeah,
and
I know that you have a partner there, and he'll tell us when you're ready to go, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe I can gather him up and have him do so.
All right, well, we look forward to talking to Simeon next. And I'll keep talking, Jill. Just have him interrupt me and tell me when you're ready. The interesting thing about Jill, too, is that a lot of channelers say that they go away while the energy is coming through them, or they're just not conscious of what was said. Jill, on the other hand, says that she is aware of what's going on while this channeling is happening. So this will be interesting and different for me, since I have spoken to a few people who do channel. And I find it quite interesting. I don't quite know what to make of all of it yet. It's not something that I consciously do. I know that I do get information sometimes, and I share it with friends and say, oh, did you know this, and this, stuff that I wouldn't normally know, and they'll say, how do you know that? And then I'll stop and say, that's a good question. How do I know that? I don't know. So that could be channeling. I'm really not sure. Never sat down to actually try and do it formally. And, you know, I wasn't making a joke earlier about we need to start looking at each other like human beings. I really wonder if sometimes people are looking at other people as resources, or people are looking at other people as commodities. Yes. Yes,
we must be ready.
Yes, we are.
Here we go.
So that's what I was getting at before. So now we have a Simeon, who are a group of a channeled collective of evolutionary collective of seventh dimensional light beings on. And I'd like to welcome them to the show and thank them for being with us, and to ask them about 2010 and what is the best thing that we could personally do as we get ready for the major shift coming in a couple years from now.
Greetings. We are Simeon, the Evolutionary Collective. We are glad that you are all giving your attention to this matter, looking forward to the experience of this new year, as it abounds with potential. There is a shift in the energies, and this shift has occurred because of you, because of each individual and their collective efforts. There is a vibration among you, and it may not be obvious when you look at the external situations, but underneath all the upheavals and strangeness that goes on your planet, there is an underpinning. There is a light force within individuals that is collectively growing, and this is allowing a new frequency to enter your planet in this coming year. It is here and it is blossoming, and we see quite a strong way for potential for your being to be growing and changing in this atmosphere. So we invite you to open your hearts and souls to this new energy and allow it, and allow your spirit the potential to shine and take over your presence your presence in the earth and how you express yourself therein. This is a time for opening of individual spirits and your souls to shine forth. The energy is available to those who are willing to allow the baggage of their past to be shed. The opening is there for much of this that you've been holding on to, the veils that have kept you from seeing the world and each other as you really are. The potential is there. It is only a matter of you individually taking advantage by opening your souls. Your spirits know this to be true. They feel it and they are aware. And those that are listening for a reason. They know what is happening. And this potential is leading to much in the coming several years. That there will be uprisings, but an uprisings of spirit, of joy, of fulfillment, because of what is being let go. So we can go on with this concept for some while, but we would like to give you the opportunity to ask questions.
So much has been said already that is so deep. Want to remind everybody that you're listening to Life Changes Radio Show with your host Filippo Voltaggio, and we have Jill Mara doing a live channeling of Simeon here on the show, and we're asking questions. And so we just asked about 2010 and what we could do to get ready for the shift. Actually, some listeners have been already texting in and emailing in, and one of the questions that I thought was interesting that I wasn't expecting to ask that came through was about aliens and whether or not we would be experiencing them in this coming year, if there would be a revelation, an obvious one that everybody can agree to.
Well, firstly, there are many of you that are already experiencing the visitors from many dimensions and spaces beyond your own. And this is not, as many would like to think, that they are dropping down in your fields in front of your eyes, and there is a very good reason for this. There is the importance of the frequency of your mind state. And those that are open to these experiences are already having them, and they will increase as you open your minds to them. These communications are going on through your soul visions, through your imaginations. They are happening more than you think they are, you see. And if you look around you and you talk to others, you will find that many are having experiences that they dare not mention, and we relay to you now that you all should come forward. Come forward and discuss your experiences, as there are many more of you than you may realize that are having deep communications with extraterrestrials, as you like to call them, and beings from various dimensions, as the veils are thinning between said locations, as you perceive. You see. So, but will there be visual and auditory and experiences within your five senses as you perceive that will happen within this year? This, my friends, is entirely up to you. It is entirely up to the consciousness of your species. Now, there are many breakdowns happening this year, so there is a lot of clearing going on. And so until a lot of that clearing falls away, there may not likely be very direct experiences with the entire planet. Although, mind you, there are signs and there are events that are happening that are signs and signals from other dimensions and extraterrestrial beings. And a lot of these you are already aware of, and these signals are being presented to you on an everyday basis. Some of these are what you call the crop circles, which are frequencies being emitted from other dimensions, including us light beings. And these frequencies are translated onto your sphere and send messages to you. They are messages relayed through frequency. And these frequencies affect your DNA and are also an aspect of your preparation, as there are many beings involved in the preparation of your evolution at this time. So, my friend, the answer to your question is that the potential is there, but there is much falling away, and we see that that is needed, and we see that the potential will exist in a more distant time than this particular year.
And looks like a follow-up question from one of our listeners just texted in. What were the lights over Norway?
This has drawn a lot of attention, and with good reason. This is also a sign, as we have said, of an interdimensional experience. That veil is thinning, and you will likely see more of such lights and indicators of a dimensional shift or a window into another dimension. Now, there were those on your planet who were trying to affect these, that are aware of this interdimensional relationship happening between other species and other beings from other planets, and they were trying to stop such energy from entering your planet. Now, this is much misguided and misunderstood, and this is one of the reasons why these beings are connecting with people individually, is because there is interference. And now, this interference comes from what you are calling a harp and the consciousness of those involved in that. Now, the actual event that you saw was an interdimensional communication. And what came through that window, if you will, was energy added to your transformation, was energy that is available, as we spoke of, in 2010. It was an opening to a cosmic window, as you so to speak. So this was a sign of your shifting in awareness, that one, you were able to perceive it as these things happen without you knowing. To answer your question.
It does, actually. And it's actually really exciting to me. We've got a couple more questions that are coming in as we're speaking, and we won't be able to get to all of them, but one of them was, it's actually a long question, but I'm trying to, basically what she's asking is, what will it look like in 2012? Is it going to be the same planet? Is it another planet that some of us will be there? And will the people that shift into the other dimension, will it look like they died to everybody else?
This is a question that will extend way past our allotted time, I'm afraid, as there is much behind that question and much to be told. And firstly, we would like to relay that 2012 is not necessarily a point of no return. It is a marker that has been given to you to show you that there is a potential in this time period. But there is not going to happen one event on that date necessarily, depending on what your consciousness flows into and what you actually create as beings. The event can happen over an extended period of time and not necessarily in one foul swoop. And we can go on about this quite extensively. So we are not sure what part of that question is the most important for you to know, but when you do shift into this new octave of experience, it is an octave of awareness shift, and it is happening already and has been, however, it is accelerating with this new cosmic energy that is coming into the planet. So the awareness that you'll be experiencing over the next several years will accelerate, and the more you are open to being sensitive, the more you will see, feel, and understand as this on. And there is a certain level of awareness for those that will be able to shift with the planet into this new dimensional experience. And we have relayed much of this information in the book that we've put forward to this channel. So we recommend that you look through that, because we have given it as a guide for you to have an understanding of what is happening on your planet, what is happening to you as you awaken, as your spirit awakens, and you move into this new dimensional experience. Now, only having a certain frequency level, and this level is foretold in that book, but we will relay here that the level of consciousness, minimally, in order to move into this dimension, is one of where you are coming from a love and higher vibrational sensitivity of care for one another and of giving from your inner spirit, because you all have so much to give, and also being a receiver of that sharing from others, becoming a cycle of life force energy in giving and receiving of yourself is an important aspect to understand or to be as you transition into this new field of energy. Will others see you? That will depend on where their frequency is. So you may actually find that many of you will seemingly disappear from physical view. And you will still be there, however. You will still be on the Earth, but you will be going into a new level of the Earth dimensional field. And there will be a time when there will sort of be a juxtaposition of these experiences. And then there will be a time when there will be a point of no return, when those that are ready will shift with the planet, and those that are not will be shifting into another dimensional experience, whatever their soul is ready for. So there is no judgment in this matter. There is only freedom of choice, of experience. And some souls will imagine that they are not, or will feel that they are not quite ready for this shift, and they need to experience more of a dualistic life and learning from that experience. So they will end up shifting into, in their next lifetime, or in with their soul understanding, into a new dimension of a world of duality, a different world of duality, where others will shift into this new Earth experience, and will your world experience will change tremendously with one another and become much more creationally advanced, in a sense, in that you will become greater creators of your reality, because you will have an understanding of your power as creators as your awareness develops. So we hope this gives you some understanding of this experience.
It does, and
in this
actually
time that we have.
I can't wait to read the book. The book is Keys to Soul Evolution, A Gateway to the Next Dimension. It was channeled by Jill Mara when she channeled Simeon, who we have on radio live for the first time ever at this point, and Simeon being a collective of higher dimensional beings of light. Now, unfortunately, correct, We don't have very much time left. We have time for one more question. And so I hope this will be an easy one. The question that came through was, what was the triangle over the Kremlin?
We see that there is a lot of curiosity about these sightings, and there will be more of these sightings. And the question we are hearing is about a triangle that was seen over the Kremlin. And is of our understanding that there was a vessel that visited your planet, and that they were there all along and were suddenly seen at this point. There are many among you that are here now and will be noticed as your awareness is shifting. So this is one of those instances when what was already there became seen. And the beings that were visiting are here to assist. And so there is no fear that should be associated with this, as these beings are here to assist you with this shift in evolution. And as you keep your frequency and your intentions on a higher note, you will only attract that relationship. And these beings are all waiting for you to attain this level of awareness so that you can open yourself to the intergalactic community. They are eager and excited to be a part of your raising consciousness. And they can only greet you when you have this level of awareness. As until you are ready, your dualistic ideas will interfere with that communication, and they cannot accept you in the community because there must be an understanding of your interconnectedness to appreciate one another and to appreciate that you are all actually one.
Well, personally, I wish that we could go on for hours, and I know that I'll spend hours reading the book, and so I'll feel like I'm having the pleasure of connecting with Simeon, but unfortunately we'll need to bring this session to a close. Is there anything that Simeon would like to say as we close our session together?
We are delighted for all of your presence, and in listening, you are giving us the opportunity to share our energy with you. And in this, we are enlightened. Because there is as we have said, there is a cycle to energy flow in the universe. And we are all constantly regenerated when we are sharing and when we have others receiving that energy. So we thank you for receiving from our dimensional experience. And we are hopeful that there will be more encounters. And we ask you to raise your spirit and be open to the challenges that you will face this year, and to allow yourself to let go of that which is preventing you from being the light that you are. And with that, we bid you a fond evening and year 2010.
Thank you very much. Wow, that was so exciting. We've been listening to Jill Mara channel the evolutionary collective of seventh dimensional light beings, and I believe that we have Jill back. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
That was so exciting. We got a couple of people that wrote, "Can't wait to meet you." So I have a feeling that they can do that at different times throughout the year as you, I know, travel. Tell everybody how they can get the book, Keys to Soul Evolution, A Gateway to the Next Dimension, and give out your website as well, if you would.
Well, that's one place you can order the book, is on the website, which is Simeon, S-I-M-I-O-N, 7 as a number, D as in dimension, so simeon7d.com. You can also order it on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com, or go to your bookstore and ask them for it, and they'll order it for you. And you can also, on the website, there's also the ebook available as well, so you can receive it quickly.
Well, Jill, this has been delightful. We had some closing words by Simeon. Anything you'd like to say on your own as we close with you?
I guess just allow what's coming this year and allow the synchronicities, because I think it's really important to recognize that when we bring our intentions into a place of sharing who we are, that there's many synchronicities that we couldn't possibly have foreseen that do come about. And I've been experiencing that myself, so I can attest to that. And I know that Simeon has relayed before that having expectations of outcomes this year is not a good idea, because we need to be fluid and we need to allow ourselves to flow with the energy. So there may be things, places and things we need to be doing and places we need to be being that we may not necessarily know right now. So if we keep our intentions on sharing who we are in our spirit, then, and allow what happens and be open to the synchronicities, that we'll all benefit from that.
Well, Jill, I know what you mean by the synchronicities. I've been experiencing them more and more, and trying to find meaning in them sometimes, and trying to get my mind out of
out of it sometimes, but certainly has been an interesting road, and having you on is part of that synchronicity, actually, how we came to know each other. So obviously we're on the right path here. So want to thank Jill Mara, author of the channeled book, Keys to Soul Evolution, A Gateway to the Next Dimension. Of course, you can learn more about Jill at the website that she gave, and also at our website, www.lifechanges.ws. Jill, thank you so much, and have a beautiful 2010.
You as well, and everyone listening.
Wishing you great luck with the book. Wow. Well, with that, we move on to our next segment in our show, which is the State of the Universe Address that I'm sure will line up perfectly, synchronistically, with everything that we've already heard. And since I'm not at the location where we normally do our show, I am hoping that Dorothy Lee is on the line. Is she?
I certainly am.
Okay, welcome to the show, Dorothy.
It's so strange to not have you here. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jill, for the confirmation, and I look forward to meeting you. I've always been interested in numerology and personally favored over astrology. Since we're about to enter into a new year, I want to share with you some insights from Hans de Coes, the world-renowned numerologist. He's one of my favorites in this field. Hans has this to say. Numerology showed us that 2008 was the year of political and economic mayhem, and that 2009 was the year of humankind's search for common ground. Now numerology is making it clear that 2010 will be the year of leadership, our search for it as well as our personal struggles to achieve it. But before we get a glimpse at the year ahead, it's smart to take a step back and look at the 10-year cycle we're in now, the decade of 2008 to 2017, which will be pivotal in how we evolve as a global society. The Mayans couldn't have been more on target when they claimed that 2012 would be the end of a 5,126-year cycle. Not only does 2012 fall in the middle of what numerology identifies as an era of transformation, but 2012 itself is the fifth universal year in this cycle, and the number five always brings with it an overarching theme of change. But 2017 won't be a return to normalcy, because unlike most cycles, this won't take us back to where we've started. In many ways, we'll find ourselves in a new world, back to 2010 from a numerology point. 2010 is what we call a three universal year, the third in the 2008-2017 cycle. Looking at the numerology behind 2010, we can predict that this year's greatest obstacles are represented by the number one, which governs leadership. Since one is what we refer to as 2010's challenge number, that means that we'll have specific difficulty in this area. While this could indicate drastic changes to who's running which nation, expect competition between major world powers to increase. As the European Union and China grow in economic and political power, be prepared to see the U.S.'s central role in the world affairs become more dialed down. Meanwhile, there are signs that developing nations will lash out against their neighbors, meaning that 2010 might play host to small skirmishes or even wars. Luckily, the number three also plays a central role in 2010, balancing out the one's negative overtones with a warm, upbeat influence that will inspire creativity. There's one place where the negative one and positive three face off in a big way, and that is organized religion. One's aggressive energy will only widen the rifts between the major schools of religion and spiritual thinking. Luckily, three glows to bring more understanding and diplomacy between major religions. For those who choose to follow a more three-style path of worship, one with a greater focus on enlightenment than fear, love over hate, the spiritual experience throughout 2010 can be almost euphoric. While universal cycles play a key role on a general level, your personal cycles are much more important to you as an individual. Personal numerology forecasts can accurately predict how these global experiences will play out in your own life to show you how to prosper in 2010. So if you've enjoyed this little preview and want to know more about how 2010 will personally affect you, please go to my website, www.energeticalchemy.com, and look for the numerology link. And until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you have been looking for. Please choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making truly elegant choices. And never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are loved. You are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy, and Happy New Year to you. You know, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about how much is enough and when is enough. And I know one thing for sure, that an hour for this show is not enough. I still have so many questions for Simeon, who we got to hear channeling through Jill Mara, and I am very grateful for her being on the show today, because that is our show for today. Now, next week, we're going to be having Marcy Shymoff, and I've met Marcy, and the irony of it is that she lives up near here where I am right now, near Berkeley. And I might have to just stay up in Northern California just so that I can interview her live, because she is just delightful. She's got a new book out called Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out. She's a New York Times bestseller with the book Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, and is a featured teacher in The Secret, the book and the movie. So it's a show that I think will kick off the new year perfectly with 7 ways, steps to being happy from the inside out. So looking forward to connecting with you all. And if you miss the show, of course, you can always catch it in our archives at www.lifechanges.ws. Remember, of course, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website, and also on our Facebook pages, our individual Facebook pages for Dorothy Lee or Mark Leger or myself, Filippo Voltaggio, or our Life Changes with Filippo fan page. So connect with us there. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love answering back. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ion Waves Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. And to learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their respective links. Once again, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes today. I, along with our segment host Dorothy Lee and producer Mark Leger, as well as our engineer Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.